Welcome to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast. My name's David. As always, each and other week are the best, the worst, and in-betweens of being a kinship carer, kinship kid, and again, everything in between. Now, this is going to be kind of like a follow-on episode to last week. Last week, I talked about getting a passport and the kind of pitfalls that you would get to with that. Now, one of the things, obviously, with that is, of course, actually going on holiday with the kinship child. Now, this is one of the things that a lot of families get into pitfalls with, and it's probably like almost like a public service announcement to advise people of this and let people know what it's like, because you know, I've done it myself. There's been quite a few people who, when they've taken their kinship child on holiday, especially abroad for the first time, that they can fall into. There's quite a few pitfalls that you can, and rather than you doing that, it might actually help to know what might happen to you and what's going forward. So first of all, obviously, when you're going on holiday, I mentioned it last week, you may find this coming from the birth parents or whoever it is. You are entitled to take the child out of the country. As long as there's no court cases ongoing where there's specific court cases, like placements that they need to be at, anything like that, as long as there's nothing in place that legally, so unless the authorities have said you cannot take this person out of the country, if it's in documented evidence to say you can't take them out of the country, then you can take them out of the country at any point up to 6 months, as long as you're not intending to keep them in the country, and as long as it's less than 6 months, then you can do that. So that's the first pitfall. As I say, if you are told by the authorities, the police, solicitors, social workers, whoever it is, that you cannot under any circumstances take the child out of the country, then obviously that's the pitfall of that. It's very rare that happens. That's usually in cases where the child is like a key witness or is potentially part of the court case and things like that. So there's usually court mandates in place, and you will know this. It's not a case of you won't be thinking, oh well, I didn't know. You will have had it written in front of you. You probably would have been told countless times you can't take that child out of the country. So that's the first thing in regards to that. So you can take the child out of the country up to 6 months. I mean, I can't imagine going on holiday for 6 months, but if you're going on like some kind of backpacking thing or round the world in 80 days, I think that's less than that. But so that's the first thing. So you don't need to worry about that. You can take that child abroad. Now, one of the things that does come up a lot is what you need to take. So obviously, apart from legal documents and everything, your passports, visas if you need to, obviously insurances and things like that. One of the things that is important that you take is something that proves what you are to that child. Now, this can be a little bit complicated, especially in unofficial placements. In unofficial placements, what we generally would advise is you do get some sort of evidence to show that they do live with you. So take a, if they're in a school, the school record to show that they're living at the same address, or something from the school itself. The reason for this, and this is a pitfall that a lot of them come to, is that when you come to, obviously with airports at the moment, and it has been for the last couple of years really, there has been very strict in regards to knowing who everyone is, why you're coming into the country, what's going on, and everything else. They want to know why you're going to Spain. Are you just going there for holiday, or are you coming to settle? How long are you going to stay there? Who are you going to be with? So as long as you've got like your holiday and hotel booked, Airbnb, whatever it is, that part is fine. But then there's the issue of the children themselves. Now, maybe it's because we have children who are very talkative and very chatty, and they're very happy to tell you that they are, that's not my mum or not my dad, he is uncle, he is auntie. And because at that point it does seem very suspicious that you are now taking this child out of the country, this can lead to other issues. One of the things I would always say, and it sounds really horrible to say this, because I know in my personal opinion I'd hate to be referred to as a guardian, but yeah, I suppose it's better than being the carer. But if you can advise your children, if they were to have to explain who you are, that you are their guardian, it makes things a lot easier, because guardian's a lot more, there's a lot more weight to guardian than he's just my uncle, auntie, granddad, whatever that would be. grandparents is not so bad. It's more the sort of grey area of uncle, aunties, friends, neighbours. You know, there's so many levels of kinship care. You know, it's not just grandparents, and grandparents can take people, their grandchildren abroad, and that's not really seen as a. But when it's that vague, you know, cousins and things like that, that's when authorities can start asking more questions. Now, obviously, if you've got a special guardianship order in place, which makes a lot of things a lot easier. But what it is always advised that you do take any copies of any documentations you have that state this. Now, when we got ours, it was literally just a piece of paper that said, this is the child's name, these are your names, you now have authority over them until coming of age or whatever it would be. It's literally, I think it was a 1 or 2 page like cover sheet that goes with your general documents. And you would use this for when you're applying for school, when you're applying for hospitals, medicals, whatever it would be. And I would always advise you take this, potentially not the original. You know, it's always good to get a couple of copies of this. But you know, by having that, you've got it mandated by the court, Liverpool City Council, Sefton, Knowsley, whatever it would be. And it will actually say that you are the rightful guardian. The rightful owner of this child, the rightful guardian of this child under the special guardianship order. Now, generally, that makes things so much easier. And as I say, when we went on our first holiday, we forgot this piece of paper. And it's not a case of because our kinship child has got a different surname, and that's the other issue that comes with it, there was a lot of questions. But thankfully, with our family, we're quite a blended family, so there's a lot of surnames going on. We have stepchildren and things like that, and we're all a family. There's no ifs and buts or coconuts with that. But because there's different surnames throughout, it wasn't as complicated. But when you've got two parents who've got one surname and then the child's got a different surname, there are questions that are asked, and that is certainly something that comes up. But with the special guardianship order paperwork, it makes things a lot easier. We had to basically ask someone to basically forward us a copy of it. I think we had to find it. I think I had to go onto my phone and find the downloaded copy that I had to show the authorities. And the other issue, of course, is that because although kinship is a universal, it's a worldwide thing, there are kinship carers across the world. Yeah, we spoke to obviously the ones in America, that there's them in Africa, Australia, I've seen them in China. Yeah, one of the good things about this podcast is seeing who is actually listening, and whether it's bots, whether it's just people who are interested, maybe people are studying it. But I've seen people from, I think one was from Afghanistan, one was from Korea. You know, people who are listening, and it's always good to know that it's kind of getting that worldwide view. And I say maybe just people studying the topic or something like that. But you know, I always like the idea of someone from Korea trying to figure out, you know, my accent and everything. But the issue is that a lot of the authorities don't, because it is, again, one of the things I've always said about kinship and thing that really does need to be brought forward is that it does feel at times that kinship is kind of like a hidden secret. They don't want people to know that you're looking after someone else's child. And it's a very complicated thing. If anyone's ever had to explain kinship, it's not a very, it's sometimes as simple as you can make it. But sometimes it's really complicated when you're trying to figure out, so the parents are this, are that, the, you know, so it is complicated. And when you're trying to explain this to someone, especially if it's in a different language as well, and you're trying to figure out, and especially if you've got a child who will say, oh no, my mum's at home and I'm living here, and they sometimes don't make it easy for you. So it is a pitfall that people do fall into, and I said we've fallen into ourselves on certain holidays. But it's always good to have any kind of documentation that you have that says that this child lives with you, you have guardianship over them. Anything of that nature will really help with that. Now, the reason, as I say, like last time, the reason I'm using this now is it kind of realised that, you know, people don't always go on holidays just during the 6 weeks holidays. Sometimes you go on a holiday. Now you probably listen to this while you're on holiday, but you know, it is something that could happen throughout the year. So I'd hate people to fall into these pitfalls that people can have, which really doesn't help from any sense of the mark. So it really is just about getting that documentation, making sure that it's there. And even if, as I say, even if it's just from the school, from a doctor, from the social worker, anyone of that nature, it sounds strange to say that this is when those authorities, those people who a lot of people think that these, the busybodies and pushing their way in and being nosy, and your social workers can either be the greatest people in the world or the worst people in the world. But it is handy to have them on hand to be able to say, look, can you just write me something that says this is what this is? And it does help, because the last thing you want is to be stuck in an airport for 2-3 hours while they're checking documentations, and you're you find out that your transfer that was only available for 24 for so many hours has now left, and you're trying to get your way to the hotel or the apartment or whatever it is. So it just makes things a lot smoother, and obviously there's less stress. And in the airport, the less stress, the better. I'm sure everyone will agree with that. It is hard sometimes to actually go to the airport. They're still dealing with a lot of COVID stuff. So if you haven't been on holiday in the last 2 years, there's still a lot of things going on where they still want this, the 2 meter distance. They still, restricting things. So it is good to be prepared, and not the less time you spend in the airport, apart from the duty free, the better. So this was really just like an add-on to the last episode, just to sort of give you more hints and tips. I may go through this a little later on for next year, just to sort of give you like a refresher of things that might happen. But as I say, because I know that people don't just go on holiday in the summer, and obviously if you're listening to this in the summer, you've already booked your holiday, you're probably already there, so it's a bit pointless. So it's always good to sort of have that thing. The one thing I always want with this podcast is that it can be almost like a dip into the topic. So if you're thinking about traveling, if you're thinking about, how am I going to do this, can I do this, then the last couple of episodes should really help with that. And this is universal. This isn't just for Liverpool. This is for the UK in general, and obviously worldwide. These things do help, these little hints and tips, and I do hope everyone can get something from them. And I say, as always, if you have any problems with that, if you have any needs or help or anything of that nature, especially in regards to the passport, the ID section, please let us know, and we can obviously have a look at that. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, the easiest way is through our social media, through the Facebook, Twitter, two versions of Twitter. There's one specifically for the podcast and one for the Kinship Liverpool charity. Through Instagram, through our website, there's lots of ways of getting in touch with us. However you're listening, it's always good to hear. As I say, in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a survey coming up asking what you like, dislike, want more, want less of with this podcast. Please answer honestly. Please give us your thoughts, give us your feelings. The more we can improve, the better. The more, if you think it's fantastic, it's just as good. It's always good to get any kind of feedback, any response, positive, negative. The negative is things we can improve on. The positive is just, it at least shows that we're in the right process there. So as always, thank you very much for listening. My name's Dave, and you listen to the Kinship Care Liverpool podcast.